Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning to Proverbs chapter 16, and we'll be focusing on verse 25 here this morning. And the title of my message here this morning is Piercing Through the Fog. Piercing Through the Fog. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the way of death. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray, Lord, as we look into your holy word here this morning, you guide our thoughts. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the word made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Father, I thank you that we have the word of God, and I pray as we look into it that you'd guide our thoughts here this morning. And Father, may I honor your son, may I honor your word. May the Holy Spirit glorify your servant, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, bless us, and we thank you for your word. And, Father, we pray your blessing upon this message and upon our time around it for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The older I get, there's something I've realized in life. I don't like driving in the rain in the dark as the older I get. Can anybody relate to that? I mean, yes. It just is hard. And I remember years ago driving, we lived down out in Lancaster County, and the street we lived on was Penn Street, and it was outside of Millersville, and it was down near the river, and I had that long drive back and forth to work, and some days a fog would come off the river. And I'd driven Penn Street for years, but that fog driving in it, mile after mile, sometimes I'd get disorientated driving, and I couldn't tell where I was exactly on the road, because all I could see was the white line that I was following. I don't know if you can identify with me in the fog, but you just kind of, you're not sure where you are on the road, you know, how far along, because you always have these landmarks and you just have a sense of where you're at, but in the fog, you lose all sense of where you're at. And as I thought about that in this verse here this morning, as God's people sometimes, this world can be kind of foggy sometimes, and we're not sure where we're at as God's people. I'm very concerned for our nation. Very concerned. It's not the way it's supposed to be. I don't know if it bothers you, but sin bothers me. And you see it everywhere. Except that the craziest thing is, if you listen to the news, you never hear the word sin mentioned. They talk about all these sinful things, but it's never this person's sin. They never say that. But why not? God does, and it's obviously sin. It can create a fog about us, like what is right or where are we at in life or where are we at as a nation. But what we want to do as God's people is be mature in our thinking. Now, for a toddler, do they have a certain way of processing things? They do. When you're real little and young, a toddler. And somebody wrote this, I don't know who wrote this, but it says, a toddler's rule of ownership. Now see if you can understand what this author's trying to say about toddlers. As he observed them, a toddler would say, if I like it, it's mine. Can anybody relate to that as for young people? If it's in my hand, it's mine. If I can take it from you, it's mine. If I had it a little while ago, it's mine. Now, does this just take you back to your childhood, anybody? Can anybody think back in your childhood? Maybe you acted like that. If it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. If I'm doing or building something, all the pieces are mine. If it looks just like mine, it's mine. If I saw it first, it's mine. If you're playing with something and you put it down, it automatically becomes mine. But if it's broken, it's yours. Is that the way it works in toddler world? Is that toddler world? Is that the way it works? You know, that's because they have a certain mentality and a certain mindset, and they're immature. There's nothing wrong. It's just where they're at in life. But what you want to do is you get older in the Christian life and more mature, you begin to see things differently. And that fog can lift away from us if we see things the way God sees them. This verse here, 25 of Proverbs 16, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Now men, they make a choice, they get older, they're a toddler, they grow up, they mature. There is a way, they process, they see life this way, and this way seems right. This is how I want to live. Well, when you're young, people can overlook your faults. Is that right? When they're young and toddlers, you overlook their faults. Kids can have a bad day, and you just overlook them. You deal with them. You teach them in love and correct them as needed, but you overlook a lot. But what happens when you get older, if there's a way that seems right? There was a fellow named George O'Leary, and he accepted a position in 2001 to be the head coach of Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team. December 2001, he's going to be their head coach. But 5 days later, he resigned because an investigation revealed that more than 20 years before, he had included false claims on his resume. This happened 20 years before, saying that he had lettered in football when he was not even on the team, and that he had a master's degree, which he had never earned. The lie had not been discovered at any of his previous coaching jobs, but the high profile accorded the position of the coach of Notre Dame led to his exposure. Well, when he got caught in his resignation, he made a statement. He said, George O'Leary said this, due to a selfish and thoughtless act many years ago. Now stop right there for a minute. Okay, verse 25 says, there is a way that seemeth what? Right unto a man. Back then, 20 years ago, he thought in his mind, this is a good way to do it. This puffs my resume. This makes me look good. There is a way that seems right. And at that point in time, he thought it was the right thing to do. He said, due to a selfish and thoughtless act many years ago, I have personally embarrassed Notre Dame, its alumni, and its fans. With that in mind, I will resign my position as head football coach. Though a considerable amount of time has passed between O'Leary's deception and its discovery, it did come to light with devastating results. There's a word we have called consequences. It's still in the dictionary. And you may do an act 20 years ago, but the consequences may not catch up with you till 20 years later. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seems right. You know, when you're young, you make a lot of mistakes. But when you get older, you've got to be thinking right. There is a way. You know, we pick a way in life. We each decide which way we're going to go in life. Turn over here to probably one of your favorite books in the Bible. You probably go here all the time, Ecclesiastes. How many is a student of the book of Ecclesiastes? Nate is. Okay, I got one here this morning. Turn to Ecclesiastes, and you probably haven't been in this book in a long time. Maybe you have to knock some dust off that chapter. Chapter 8 in Ecclesiastes. And Solomon is looking at life here. There is a way that seems right. Well, he's going to talk about this here this morning a little bit in Ecclesiastes. We'll pick up the reading in verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6. Because to every purpose or matter, there is a time and a judgment. Let's stop right there for a minute. To every purpose or matter, there is a time and a judgment. Now, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. If you're picking a way in life, you have to factor in there is a judgment day coming at the end of the line. God has a judgment day coming at the end of the line. So if you know that at the end of the line, you're going to have to give an account of yourself to God, is that going to affect way over here the decisions you make? It absolutely will. Because if you fear God at the end of the road, you're going to fear Him at this point in your life. there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Now, because to every matter purpose, there is a time and a judgment. God has it. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. What does that say in the misery of man? In other words, if you have messed up in life, and you know you're going to have to meet God and give an answer for it, you have a certain amount of guilt. Now, for us as Christians, believers, we're not sinless, but because we know God, we sin less. Do you see the difference? 1 John 1:9, it's a verse we all should know. If we, as believers, confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not just forgive us, but to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, with that in mind, as we as believers, our misery, our guilt that we carry has been put on Christ. So we, as God's people, can walk in the joy of the Lord, knowing our sins are forgiven. But for the unsaved man, the unregenerate person that doesn't know God, where do you put your guilt? And you know what they do? A person that's guilty, they blame others, do they not? Or they try to hide their sin. But God says, if you want to be blessed, don't blame others. Don't try to hide your sin. But what? Confess your sins. That's where you get the blessing at. Unsaved person, they'll try to blame others. They'll try to hide their sin. But God says, if you want to be a blessed person, you confess your sins. Verse 7, For he knoweth not that what shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Now, a foolish man thinks they're the captain of their fate. In other words, an unsaved person, they live their life as if there's no God. Now, there's a person in the New Testament, and he had a lot of things going well for him. And one day he decided to himself, he said, look at all my barns. I have no place to put everything. He says, I'll build greater barns than this. What did God say to him? He said, thou what? Fool, this night thy soul shall be what? Required of thee. See, he had a certain perspective on life. He thought things are going well. Who knows when things shall be? But you can't not factor God into the equation. For who can tell him when it shall be? Look at verse 8. You think you're in control? Look at verse 8. There is no man that hath power over his spirit to retain the spirit. What's that saying? On your deathbed, if this is a day God is going to take you into eternity, can you stop God's hand? You can't do it. You can't do it. There's an old story told in the Middle East. This man had a servant. The servant was in the marketplace, and something jostled him, and he turned around, and it was the death angel looking right at him and shook his finger at him. Scared the servant to death. He went home to his master and said, Master, give me a camel. I got to flee to Samaria. The death angel jostled me and frightened me. Got on his camel and fled to Samaria. Well, the owner was so upset he lost his servant, went to the marketplace, found the death angel, said, why did you wag your finger in my servant's face and scare him so? He said, I wasn't trying to frighten him. He says, I was just surprised. I have an appointment with him tonight in Samaria. Do you see what I'm saying? If God's going to call you home, you can't stop it. And you can flee to Samaria, but guess what? That's your appointed time. See, nobody has that power to retain their spirit. For there is no man that hath power over his spirit to retain his spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there shall be no discharge in that war. You're not getting out of this war. You're not going to get an absence. You're not going to be able to not go to this war, so to speak, of death. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I've seen and applied to my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time when one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who have come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This also is vanity. Verse 11, because a sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the Son of Man is fully set in them to do evil. Boy, I sure thought about a lot of political events that that verse would apply to. Can you think of anybody that should have gone to jail that didn't go to jail that encouraged other people to do evil because they didn't go to jail, so I'm not going to go to jail, so I'm going to do this? That's why our country's in such a mess, because they have not applied the law of our land against evildoers, and they've been encouraged because the sentence against an evil work was not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men are fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, he's just living a life of sin. 100 times, never get caught. He's just all into whatever he's doing. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that what? Fear God, which fear before him. Now, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. 100 times he never got nailed. But when God knocks at your door, you're not getting away. When his judgment falls. Now, let's just look in Scripture here a minute and think about some men. Okay. 100 times they got away. I want to give you a name and tell me, how did it turn out for this guy? Haman. How did it turn out for him? Yeah, not good for Haman, did it? Now, did Haman think he was all this? You know what I'm saying? He thought he was, he had it. But see, he was walking in a fog, so to speak. He thought he could see the way. But little did he know the very gallows he built for Mordecai, that was what he was going to be hung on. How'd it turn out for Haman? Not good. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. He thought it was right. He thought he was doing good. It didn't end up well for him. I'll give you another name. Tell me how it turned out for this guy. Judas. How'd it turn out for him? Not good. He went out and hung himself. Matter of fact, before he hung himself, he had that silver in his hands. And he just looked at it and he felt so guilty. He knew he betrayed innocent blood. He thought he, and he just went into the temple and he just threw that money across the floor and went out and hung himself. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. He thought it was right. What does Proverbs say here again? What's the rest of that verse? Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. They're in a fog. They think they're seeing their way. But the end thereof are the ways of what? A death. You know, it's... Now, when it says, when Scripture has this verse is a warning to people who trifle with God, who mock God and think God isn't going to hold them into account. You know, this verse is a warning. Now, for us as believers, we stand in the circle of God's grace, his forgiveness. We stand in the circle of his unending love. We stand in the circle of the redeemed. We stand in the circle that he holds us in the hollow of his hand. That's who we are. We don't want to be in the circle of unbelievers that think they're doing so right, but they're so wrong. And the thing about us as God's people, we got to realize that in Ecclesiastes here, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. Verse 13, and it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Now, in the days we live in, I shared this at men's meeting. The culture is pushing us to accept its ungodly values. Do you feel any pressure from the culture? Do you feel that push that the culture pushes against us to accept their values? You know, if you're a Christian and you want to have a business, and this is to bake cakes that honor God, and they say you have to bake a cake for a same-sex wedding, and you own that business, what would you do? Would you comply? I just tell them, I'm sorry, sir, your cake burned again. I don't know what's wrong with that oven. Every time I put it in there, it just burns it. I can't figure it out. Every time it just goes in and it just burns it up. I'm sorry, you don't have a cake today. And I'd make sure that cake burned every time. I just don't know what's wrong with my oven. There's just something funny happening here. I'm just joking, Mary. Don't push me too far, Mary. But I'm serious. Us as Christians, does the culture push us? It does. And though a sinner do wrong 100 times and his days be prolonged, don't walk in the fog thinking it must be okay because everybody else is doing it. I want to be biblically correct, not politically correct. Is there a difference? There's a huge difference. I'm going to be biblically correct, not politically correct. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And turn to Luke 16 here for a minute. Luke 16. You just got a contrast going here. God teaches by contrast, light and darkness, good and bad, right and wrong. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. A certain beggar named Lazarus. You got these two people, opposite extremes. As opposite as you can get in life, stature. Man, one man had everything, one man had nothing. How'd it turn out for the rich man at the end of the story? Good or bad? Very bad. Very bad. Did he seem like he had the right road? He was on the right road. It seemed like he was living. It was all about him. He fared sumptuously every day. Lazarus was laid at his gate, hoping to get just a few crumbs that fell from his table, full of sores, medical issues all over the place, desire to be fed from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, and didn't even have enough strength to push the dogs away that licked at his sores. Very emaciated human being. I want to have a question for you. Was Lazarus made in the image of God? Does that give him worth and value? Absolutely. Absolutely. You can have the poorest of the poor, the most destitute of the destitute in this world, and they're made in the image of God. And they have value and worth of who they are. And Lazarus did. And guess what? Lazarus died. But God, Lazarus had one thing the rich man didn't have. He had God in his life. How'd it turn out for Lazarus? Turn out good for him? It did. You know, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Rich man died also. It didn't turn out well for him. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. You know, he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to me. He dipped the tip of his finger in water and cooled my tongue, for I'm in torment in this flame. Now, when the Bible gives a warning, Proverbs 16:25, should we heed that warning? Should we heed it? Is God serious? I'm talking about catastrophic failure here. The way that seemeth right, I'm not just talking about you made a bad mistake and you did something trifling. This is a point in life where you have turned the wrong way completely from God. That's catastrophic. The way it seems right on man, but those the ends are the ways of death. Death is separation. If you die without Christ, you're separated from God for all eternity. That's catastrophic. You don't get any worse than that. And what we don't want to do is live in this fog that we are not sure which way to go. We want to make sure that we know where we're going and what we stand for. You know, in this dialogue, I mean, this is a whole sermon right in itself, Luke 16. I don't want to dig too deep into this here this morning. But the rich man had a a prayer request. He prayed, "For I have five brethren that he wanted Lazarus to go to them. They may not come to this place of torment." And Abraham said to him, "They have Moses." Now, what does that mean? They have, what did Moses write? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's what Moses wrote. They have Moses and the prophets. They have all the Old Testament talk about God. They got God's witness already. And Abraham said, Father Abraham, if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, they're not going to be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Well, we want to make sure we're on the right road. Won't be in a fog. Verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the way of death. Ecclesiastes said, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that what? Fear God, which fear before him. If you want to see where you're going, make sure you keep fearing God before your eyes. You honor him in everything you do. You honor God in everything you do. Now, look at some negative ways people didn't go well for them. Who did it go well for? People that made the right choice. How'd it go for Peter? Did he have some mistakes along the way? You know, somebody once said Peter is the apostle with a foot-shaped mouth. He's always putting his foot in the mouth. Do you know what I'm saying? He'd say some of the stuff he'd like, why'd you say that? But he's just there. That was Peter. But it ended well for him. And he knew God, and he loved God. How about the Apostle Paul? Did it finish well for him? Apostle Paul said, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. He says, I'm betwixt two things here. To remain is good, but desiring to be with Christ is even better. He was torn. He loved God so much, he just wanted to go to be in heaven with him. How about John on the Isle of Patmos? Did it turn out good for him? Turned out good for him. You know, these men weren't walking in a fog. They knew where they were going, and they knew what God had called them. And we go on and on. David and Abraham, Jacob, Noah, these all died in faith. It turned out well for them. In our Christian life, know that you're saved, and then love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And love your neighbors, you love yourself. You do that, you're going to be good. You fear God. Now, in closing, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Who is the ultimate liar? Satan is. Who is the ultimate truth? Christ is. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. People that are deceived, the way they seemeth right, and they're deceived. Who deceives them ultimately? Satan does. Blinds our eyes. What we want to do is give people an eye opener. To turn people from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan unto the power of God, that they might be sanctified by faith in Christ. Can you do that this week? Can you be an eye-opener for somebody that has been deceived? They think they're going the wrong way? Before you talk to men about God, make sure you talk to God about men. Pray first. Talk to God first about men. And then be that man or woman that takes the truth of the gospel, that people that are deceived, and give them the truth. Because eternity is real. And how long is eternity? Forever. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, help us this week as we live, as we that have the light and the truth, and that, Lord, that we know God and we fear God. Father, we live in such a world that calls good evil and evil good, and they put darkness for light and light for darkness. It's all turned upside down. But God, we as your people, we know the truth. And Lord, this Christmas season, may we help people see that Emmanuel, God with us, that God came down to this earth through the form of Jesus Christ and through his death, burial, and resurrection and his bodily ascension into heaven, that we can have eternal life. And Father, help us not to be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, there's a way that seems right unto men. So many people are deceived by Satan and the Antichrist. Father, help us to be strong and not to walk in a fog, but to know right from wrong and to live as light bearers in this world of darkness. Help us toward this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.